Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Hopefully, today's message is going to be short, but effectual. That is, will have an effect. And the effect that this teacher of God's Word desires, and I have no doubt that God desires, is that faith might come and that it might endure, that faith might be a daily, hourly, if you will, or if necessary, minute by minute part of our life. And I'm talking about the life of God that the gospel declares is in us to those who are operating in that measure of faith that God gives to all without distinction. I want you to open your Bibles to almost the most famous chapter, or one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. And though it might be familiar to many Christians, we might today go deeper into the Word of God, that edification and understanding might come. Look, you know, declarations have been made about how many Bibles, you know, since the King James Bible was first published over 400 years ago. Estimates are 7 to 8 billion, probably more than the population in the earth today, have been published. And you know, if every one of those Bibles were available to the whole world, And, you know, I'm struggling with this. I always want to speak truth here. But this Bible is a book. It is that which God has inspired. It is that which God has preserved. But if it were all that was necessary, then that which we read in the fourth chapter of Ephesians about God giving some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body is a useless statement. I'm hopeful today that through this teaching of God's word, which he has preserved, might bring more edification to the hearers, that is, to those to whom God has given an ear to hear, that faith might continue. Now, I have no doubt, starting right out the gate, that the translation of the King James Bible could be more clear. Hopefully make that understood very shortly. In the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul is, well, let's just open. In the 12th chapter, it opens, it says, now, King James reads, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The literal is, now concerning the spirituals, I would not have you ignorant. When he gets to this 13th chapter of Corinthians, it's called today the love chapter. Yet the King James translates this word in the Greek, agape, or its derivatives, they translate it into the word charity, whereby it could be, and most often is, misunderstood. This 13th chapter, of which there was no chapter and verse in the original, we habit that we might use it as a reference, but understand this is a letter, and now Paul is getting on this subject, and he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, now I'm going to change it. I'm going to read it and then change it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, the word is agapison. Love. I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. I'm making noise. That's it. And though I have prophecy, that is the ability to tell the truth and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Change the word love, not charity. You know, most would say that of giving to the poor, but let's go on. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, understand, in the King James is in parenthesis. It's added by the translators. And though I bestow all my goods to feed, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. You know, most Christians today learn how to act like a Christian before they ever come to know the Lord. We have been attempting for these many years through presenting of God's word that those whom God has chosen, that those whom God has called, that those whom God has gifted faith might come to know God, our Father, and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I find it very interesting in the Greek, in these first three verses, that which is translated by the King James charity, and most other translations love, that in the Greek, it is a noun, but it is in the accusative case. When you find a word in the accusative case, it is that which is being done on something, not generated from something. That which is being done on something or to something, not that which is being generated from something. And we're talking about what God is doing for his children, that is, children of faith. Charity, love, suffereth long, is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Interesting, it is in the feminine case. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, thy word is truth. Love, by implication, beareth all things, faitheth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether prophecies or telling the truth, they shall fail. Whether tongues, they shall cease. Whether knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy, that is, tell the truth in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Listen to this. Paul is attempting to communicate spiritual things by making them analogous to this life in the flesh. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought or reasoned as a child. What is a child? It's a bundle of I wants. I want to be fed. I want to be comforted. I want my diaper changed. I want to sleep. I want this. It is a bundle of I wants. And the reasoning is because I want it. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, other influences. When I became a man, came into my life, and I put away the thought as a child thinks that I'm the center of the universe. I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass, darkly. The word is it has to do with obscurely, as in a mirror. Back then it was a polished metal, and there was an image there, but not as clear as it could be. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part. Paul says in another passage of the New Testament, it's not as though I have apprehended that for which I have been apprehended. I'm not there yet, Paul says. I'm not there yet, I say. I want this congregation to understand you're not there yet either. But I want you to understand and have confidence in and act upon the understanding that God is doing His work. And it is going to come to a point where we can say with Paul, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, for I know in part, but then shall I know not sure why the translators translated it this way. Wherein it says, but then shall I know. I'd have you understand this about the Greek. The grammar of it is future. That is, in Paul's case, who was alive in the flesh when he was speaking this, and in our case, who are alive and in the flesh, who are hearing this. He's talking about some future event. It's in the indicative, that is, it is a fact. It's a fact. And it is in the middle voice. But the word in the Greek is teleos. It says, for we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall have complete knowledge. And that, for my benefit, or we might say, and that for our benefit, but then shall we have complete knowledge, even as also I am known. What is the good news of the gospel? It is the righteous by faith shall live, and that righteousness spoken of is even the righteousness of God. And that righteousness of God is to those who are in Christ Jesus. And put their confidence in God and what He has done in Christ and is doing in Christ and will do in Christ. And we who are faithing God puts in Christ and furthermore puts Christ in us, and the 13th verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, and now, a better translation is, so then, and in conclusion, in reality, abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, they will continue to abide, but the greatest of these is love. I have a wonderful book it's called The Love Life. It's done by William Graham Scroggie, Scroggie. If you don't have it, my recommendation is that your edification might be strengthened, that you get your hands on it. He says, in conclusion, in his book, the love life is the Christ life. The truth of this is forcefully brought out by reading Christ instead of love throughout this chapter. And therefore, let's read it that way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not Christ, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Do you know in this life we have mountain movers? Who have not Christ, but still move mountains? Who have not Christ, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not Christ, it profits me nothing. Christ, Jesus Christ, suffers long, he sure does with me, and is kind, oh, that you can say along with me, he is kind. Christ envies not. Christ, Jesus Christ, vaunteth not itself. The alternative is not rash, is not puffed up, does not behave himself unseemly, seeks not his own, is not easily provoked. He knows our state, folks, that we are but flesh. And he's taking care of it. Thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, with the truth, with the word of God, with the promises of God, of whom he is the culmination of all those promises. Beareth all things. He took upon himself all our iniquities. He also took upon himself all our sicknesses. Believeth all things. He has no doubt in the things that God has expressed. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Christ never fails. But where there's prophecies, they shall fail. Where there's tongues, they shall cease. Where there's knowledge, it shall vanish away. And now, so then, in conclusion, in reality, and now abides, and that is eternally, faith, hope, and Christ. These three. But the greatest is Jesus Christ. Now, I referred to the word earlier being translated by the King James Bible people, charity, by most other translators, love. The word is, the root of the word is agapao, and it means to take, listen, to take pleasure in a thing, to prize it above other things, be unwilling to abandon it or do without. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever faitheth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life, where this which God desired which he was not willing to do without you and me and the rest of his chosen, he gave his only begotten Son. If I were in the Old Testament, I'd say, Selah, think on that for a while. Paul says in the 8th chapter of Romans, for I am persuaded. The word in the Greek is pitheo. It is a derivative of pisteo. It is the outward effect of faith. He's persuaded that neither life nor death, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, he didn't even waste time talking about the past, folks. Stop looking back. Keep your eyes focused on God, who was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, because he wasn't willing to live without it. Love. Nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. I don't care how high you get. I don't care how low you get. I have to say it. I'm talking to myself. I hope you get a little bit of it. Neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. What's Paul saying in this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians? Stop looking at yourselves. Stop thinking that you're anything without Christ. and understand that though starting out a child and speaking and reasoning as a child, we become men, the maturation of the Christian life does not culminate here, but over there, when we shall see face to face and be made complete in Jesus Christ. And that's the God School for today. I need to add a word, folks. Now, this is personal. I hope you hear this. The truth is being put forth here at the God School. And I am not beholding any of you face to face. I believe if I were, that I could see your faces shine. And the joy would be communicated on your face. But I'm here and you're there and I can't see the gladness. I can't see the joy. The only way that as a man I know that you are receiving this, which is God's word, is if you comment on this website and the comments have been few. They attempt, because of the lack thereof, to discourage me. But by faith, I am not discouraged. You do what you want. I've asked you to comment. If this ministry, if this teaching of the Word of God is having an effect on you, I want to hear about it.